Thanks, Charles. Morning, everybody. It's going to be all right, the sound. We'll carry on. I'm sure they're going to work on it as we go along. But yeah, I'm just picking up all the prophetic words, and thanks so much, Gobus and the team. We were yachting you, but you stayed ahead of us, and we couldn't get you. But next time. But the worship was sweet, really beautiful. It's lovely to be here with you guys. And I think Jenny and I haven't been here for about 10 years, actually, in this context. And we've been in Josh Jen for a long time, 26 years. And we get around, like Len, we move around all the time. Every week we're somewhere different. But we're seeing God just mobilizing the church. And there's almost like a urgency of the hour of, hello everybody up there. And it's like urgency of the hour, what God wants to do. When I got saved 45 years ago, we used to say goodnight, and we said goodbye to each other. We say, if Jesus comes tonight, we're going to meet at the East Gate. You know, and we're all excited that Jesus could come back any moment. And I think the church has lost a little bit of that. Like, we settled, tomorrow, some other day he's coming, one day. Whereas there's the urgency of the hour of the church, and we've been given responsibility as the church to usher in the kingdom of God and to bring the kingdom of God into people's lives and to present the kingdom of God. And even in the book, one of the books of Peter, it says, you can speed up the day of Jesus coming. He's partnering with us in this gospel. He's not just doing it on his own. He's not expecting us to do it on our own. But Jesus is working with us. In Revelation, he said that the bride is getting herself ready. And we are the bride, and there's a preparation that we must do of getting ourselves ready, positioning ourselves for that day. And then in Ephesians 5, it says that he is getting his bride ready. So there's a combination, there's a samarbeiting, there's a working together of getting the bride ready to present her. The eldership, the leadership of the church, have got to stand before God one day. You, as individuals, it came through in one of the words, everyone must work out their salvation with fear and trembling. We cannot live your life for you. We cannot control your life. You're the boss of you. But you must be a good boss. You must allow the king to sit on the throne of your heart. You can only do that. We cannot force you. We cannot command you to do that. Only he can command you to do that. But we've got to one day present you as a pure and holy bride back to Jesus. So we've got a responsibility of leaders to present to you and to prepare you for that day. He may not come back in your lifetime. You may go, and this body may end for you, and you may go to be with him. But our job is, the calling on our lives is to prepare you for that day. When you see him face to face, we've got to teach you correct doctrine. Paul says to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, because it can affect your own salvation, sozo, Greek word, saved, healed, and delivered, and it can affect your hearers. So doctrine, what we teach you, is very important. It can affect the way you live this life for Jesus and the way when you stand before him, how you lived your life. If we teach you a false gospel and a poor doctrine, when you stand before him one day, he's going to judge you for how the Bible says you're going to be judged for the works in this body. Not just for your belief, but for the things that you did from your belief and your understanding. Because as we understand all about the Lord and we read his word, there's an outworking. There must be a response to what we know. We cannot just be full of knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge. The church is so full of knowledge sometimes, but there's no action. And there's work to be done. I want to see this place packed out one day. People crawling through the windows trying to get in here to come into the presence of God. Because when Charles fills out the form, how many people were in the meeting? No. Because people are getting touched for Jesus. There's people in Swellendam who are dying and are going to spend a hell in eternity. Eternity in hell. It will be the same thing. And they should break our hearts for that. We cannot just sit with this precious treasure to ourselves and just enjoy each other all the time. That's one part of living out for God. The other part is when the only opportunity we've got down here, because there's three aspects, like a poiki pot, there's three legs. One leg is to worship God and to have a relationship with Him. That's number one. Number two is to have fellowship with the saints and to love one another as Jesus loved us. And number three is to reach the lost and tell them the good news. How will they know unless they hear, unless someone tells them? And you can only do that in this life. Once we all go, it's finished. There's no opportunity for them. There's no opportunity for us to tell them about this amazing King, this Jesus that we know. I think, Charles, the word awesome, I only use it for God. I only use awe in English means you are in awe. You like just want to fall down and you want to collapse. It's so awesome. I didn't have an awesome cup of coffee this morning. It was a good cup of coffee. Thank you. But it wasn't awesome. God is awesome. Words are important. Use the correct words for the correct context and the correct aspect. And this morning I want to mobilize us. As leaders, our job is to take you towards Jesus. As we take ourselves and as we got to live lives in Him and follow Him ourselves, but we are to connect you to Jesus to help you to live a full and holy life before Him. And the one that we're building has come through, and I love that because I want to speak about being in position this morning and about the building. One of my relatives, it must be, I can't take credit, but it was a Fraser who designed this building. There's a plaque still there, Len, is it still there? The architect was a Fraser. My surname is Fraser. But I'm here to build another building, not this physical one. And this morning, when you leave here, I want you to know this one thing, that if you are not part of what God is doing, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. If the elders are flat out working like crazy, the deacons, the community leaders, the worship team, the people all helping kids' church, if they are flat out, but if not everyone is not in position, we will never fulfill what Jesus called us to do. And He may even pass over this generation and look for the next generation who will. Because we read the Old Testament, that's how God worked. If that generation didn't do what God's promise asked them to do, He just waited for the next generation. And I just thought of this building. I'm picturing it all night, thinking about it. Imagine if there were some bricks missing in that wall up there. You can't really see them. The door is very obvious. The windows are very obvious. If they were not working, it would be clear. But imagine just a couple of bricks were not there in that wall. We would feel it a little bit. If it was raining and the wind was blowing, we'd all be like, while I'm talking, you'd all be distracted. Hey, there's some bricks missing. Where are they? And they might even develop a crack there eventually, and they might start getting a weakness in that building. Because some of you sitting here this morning, that if you're thinking, if I'm not here, it'll make no difference. If I don't come, and it's not about a Sunday meeting. Sunday meeting is not the main church. It is a good meeting. It's a time where the people of God get together to get equipped to go out and do what God has called them to do. Church is Monday to Sunday. This is a good meeting, but it's not the meeting. So this is that you are here. It's good. The Bible says don't forsake the gathering together of the saints. But do you believe fully in your heart that if you are not part of the church life, Monday to Sunday, that we would feel it? Or you feel, nah, I'll just go, I don't think I'll go to that meeting, I'll go to this one, I'll pick and choose, I'll sometimes do this, but what if God is saying, no, you are vital? Because if you don't, Romans 12 says, present yourselves as living sacrifice. Present means here I am. I'm stepping forward into position. So if you don't actually present yourself in your physical body and say, here I am, God can't even begin to use you. There's got to be a beginning. There's got to be a starting point. And if you're not part of, you're only just coming and going and here or there, not there, and we don't know if you're going to be in position one day and next day you are not, it's very hard for us to build the church that Jesus wants. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says that He's only got one plan, and that's the church. He says, through my church, I'll make my manifold wisdom known to the principalities and powers. Through my church. There's no plan B. This doesn't work. Well, then let's go to plan B now. That doesn't work. Let's go to plan C. There's only plan A, and that is through my church. Everything He wants to do is through church. That's why so many little ministries have popped up all over the place. Charity mission, missionaries, this, that, different things, aspects of the church. The church is splintered and broken away because sometimes the church is not in a healthy place to bring people into their fullness. And people get frustrated with the leadership and they don't understand what God is doing in their life. So they'll use their gifting to go and start a ministry on the side. And that's not God's plan. You can't see it in the scripture. It's not there. There's only one plan, through my church. And every church always had elders, and the elders are there for the good of the people. All the time we are thinking, what's best for you, to walk in everything that God's got for you. We want to prepare you to stand before Him, and that you've lived your life, your marriage, if you're married, or how you raised your children, or how you've conducted yourself in business. I used to run all the business meetings in our church. I'm going to restart them now in Cape Town. I don't want to teach the guys how to make money. I want to teach them how to be good business people of good character. Because people sometimes they think, well, here in church I can wear my church hat. When I go out the door, no, that's the real world. I take off that hat and I put on another hat. No, it should be the same hat. You're one person. You don't change. I was in business for 23 years. Now 23 years in ministry. I'm at the halfway point. And I know what it's like to be a Christian in business. I've worked in the corporate and for Total, the French petroleum company, a senior manager. So I know what it's like to be out there in the real world. I've worked as an artisan. I've worked amongst rough people, tough guys. And we can still be the same person, the same value, and be a good living stone. So let's read from 2 Peter. And says from verse 4. Did you get all the scriptures? You got them all? Great. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. My mistake. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. I'm reading from the NIV. Let's wait for you to get it up. Sorry, am I giving you all the wrong scriptures? I am. 1 Peter 2, sorry. We'll get there eventually. Oh, well, she's better than me. She's got it. Well done, sorry. As you come to him, you've got to come to him, the living stone, Jesus, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, okay, you're in a similar way, like living stones. You're a living stone, part of his building that he is building, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. So we are that living stone that God has called. But you are a chosen... Sorry, verse next. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people. Do you believe that this morning, sitting here? That God has chosen you by name. He chose you. Often I have to remind myself, Russell, you are chosen by God. He said, I want you. I'm calling you. No one can come to God unless they're called. A royal priesthood. There's a royalness about us. A holy nation. God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So we called as a royal priesthood a stone. So every one of you is a stone. And the question this morning I want to ask you and challenge you with is, are you in position? Are you in the position where God's put you and asked you to be in terms of his royal, his holy building that he is building? He's building a building. But if you're sitting outside still on the pile of bricks and you're not haven't been placed in position, then that's a problem. Because number one, you are being disobedient to God. And number two, we'll never be able to fulfill the mandate and the calling that God has called us as a church to be what he wants us to be. We may reach 60% of what God ever... One day when we get to eternity, he said, man, as my people, you could have been so much more. I could have used you in such a more effective way if only everybody had been there. And some of you need to be just in position. You might think, but I've got nothing to really offer. I'm a nobody. I can't stand up and preach. I can't play the guitar. I can't, there's nothing. But all we want you to just be in possession, just to be in that wall. And that will be enough. See, the devil, the Bible says the devil's prowling around, seeking where he can get in, where he can get a foothold. And if there's a hole, just one hole in the wall, he'll get through. We'll feel that wind coming through. We'll feel the rain coming through. Where's that brick? It's not here. But these walls are all here. But it's not enough. We can feel the effect of the enemy coming in through that hole. And so you may think, I don't really, they don't care if I'm here or not here. We do care because God cares. He has made very clear that you are a brick. There's not some bricks and other bricks. They're all the same. They're all called to be in one position, and that's in the building of God. Not this physical building, the spiritual building of God. Why membership? Sometimes people ask, why you guys want membership? Where's membership in the Bible? It's not declared outright there, but the Bible says that we've got to give an account. We need to know which bricks have we got to work with. Which ones say, no, we agree with the values that you guys see in Scripture. We see it. You guys are living this. This is the Scripture that you're talking about, and you're living it. We want to be part of that. We want to know who must we care for? Who can we rely on? Which brick can we say, Tony, would you go and be on that wall over there, please? We've got a hole over there. But if I look to that seat, where's that person? He's missing. I've got to look somewhere else. I've got to find another brick now. So we need to know who we're working with, who's available to us. Sometimes we just want you to be here. Your presence is enough because you're blocking what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to get in. You might just be that one person who hears a bit of skinner, a bit of gossip. And you might be the person who stops it, because we can't get everywhere. Our role is to equip the body of Christ to do the works of service. We're not called to do it all. You're all called to be pastors. You're all called to be evangelists. You're all called to prophesy and bring the word of God, all of us. And we are to equip you, to mobilize you, to be fully effective in God's hand. He's looking for mature believers, not babies. Because mature, in Galatians 6, verse 1, says, if you see someone sin, okay, you have to make a judgment sometimes on these matters. If someone is sinning, you don't go there to catch them, you go there to help them. It says, you who are mature, or some translations say spiritual. It doesn't say the babies must go and correct them, because the babies are going to get knocked silly. They're going to get a beating. They say, you who are spiritual, go and correct that person. But be careful, because you too could fall just like they could. Just be aware of that. So God's looking for mature believers. Not, you know, just because you get gray hair and you sat in church here for 40 years doesn't make you a mature believer. As Jenny always says, you know, there's some people that are doing year number one 20 times. Because when God challenges them on something, I don't like what I'm hearing. I'm going to go and find another church that will tell me it's okay. Just to carry on sinning. We get that all the time. Guys come, you guys are too... You're too much into this Bible, you know, you're too strict, you apply this too rigidly. I'm going to go and find where it's softer. Give me a soft message. We call it church light. zero. It's scary, folks. It's been hard for us to lead the church to where she needs to go. We see in the Scripture sometimes, and it doesn't make us popular, but we really are trying to stick to the Scripture. If the Bible says do it, we do it. And if we don't, please hold us to account. That's where maybe your voice is needed. I'm accountable to all of you, not just to the elders. If you come from the back row and say, Russell, I'm a bit worried about your marriage. I say, I won't say, who are you? I'm only going to listen to Charlie. No, I'll say, I want to hear what you have to say. You've picked up something. I need to hear what you have to say. We need every one of you to speak up and have a voice. Do it respectfully. You don't have to be rude. But we need you because you can hear God just like we can. We can't hear God perfectly all the time for everything. Yes, it's an anointing that comes on elders, but we need every brick in position. Every single person is part of God's building in position. But your first step is sometimes just to be there, just to be in position. I have no idea why I'm in leadership. I mean, I'm confused as you are. As to why God would choose someone like me to be leading God's people. But I'm going to walk in it. But you know why? It's because I'm a fighter. I won't give up. I'm going to persevere. Those Perseverance is like a fruit in the heart. I'm just like, I found Jesus 45 years ago, and I can't let go of what I found. The world looks so pathetic compared to what I found, this Jesus. I saw a teaching the other day about, you know, people, when they become Christians, they get very judgmental of the world because now they feel they're superior because they've stopped sinning. I didn't feel like that. I just couldn't believe the mercy and the grace. No, I tried to get drunk the day after I got saved. I got sick and I stopped drinking. And, you know, swearing, every third word was the F-bomb. And that just, no one had to say stop swearing. The Holy Spirit just took all that, removed that. I was a changed person. But that's not the big issue. The big issue was I found God. I didn't actually need him. I wasn't looking for him even. He found me, better words. He found me. He revealed himself to me, and I said, I can't believe this. Where has this been all my life? Where has this God been? I know a lot of you guys grew up in traditional churches and things, but we English people are slup. We don't get that. Correct my Afrikaans if I deviate. I've got to be careful. Len says stick to English. You mix it, you make a mistake. But nope, not a bad word. It's okay. Okay. What? Okay. Deacons, remove this lady. But I didn't know what an elder was. I didn't know what a deacon was. We didn't go to church. I didn't know what tithing was. I just started from the beginning. But I just couldn't believe it. I'd never read the Bible. It just came alive. And I just couldn't stop reading it. I took a Gideon's Bible in my pocket. And everywhere I went, I stopped for 2 minutes. Out was there. I still got that old Bible. It's so dirty and grubby now from getting used. I just was hungry for the... So God transformed me. Where am I going with all this? God, you know, I sat with a man in he died about 3 years ago. I baptized him in 1981. Good friend of mine. Our children, from their first birthday, were friends. Grew up with him. He's a very successful businessman. Well, he was. Became a very wealthy man. He sat in my house a few years ago. He came to Cape Town. And he said, me and my wife are getting divorced. Like, why? He was an elder in our previous church, and it was a good church. He said, because we just drifted apart. There's nothing there. I said, but that's not biblical. You know that. You know better than this. And I said to him, you know what? You should be doing what I'm doing. You're much more gifted than I am. If he walked in this room, he would dominate this room because it's such an anointing God gave. See, it's just a gift that God gives. It's not because of him, but God put a gift on his life of leadership. But he chose to use it in the business world, and he's ended up shipwrecking his faith and his marriage and everything. And he's a good man. If you meet him, he's a good, decent person. But he shipwrecked his faith. I said, you should have been sitting here. But you've chosen to not. The reason I'm in leadership is because I won't give up on God. If you guys won't do it, I'll do it. If you don't want to step in position, I'll take your place. I've got everyone else's gifts right now. I think I'm walking in other people's gifting. I'm sorry, God's 100th choice. But all the guys ahead of me said, nah, I'd rather go and make money and use my gift for business. I'd rather do this or do that. Nothing wrong with business. Nothing wrong with making money as long as your heart is pure. I've got an extremely wealthy friend, very close friend. And he says, I'll only help people in terms of business and money if they understand their reason is that God's blessing with finance is to give to the kingdom. He's kingdom-minded. Because it's all about the kingdom. Says the bricks, will you, this morning, when I eventually do end, sometimes I have the gift of continuation, but I'll try not to this morning. I want you to know that you are vital, vital to the kingdom of God. Without you, we'll never become. And I'm really speaking to those, not the leaders so much, that I've spoken to them last night, challenged them on last night. But this morning, I want to talk to the pile of bricks that may be sitting outside. They're not being put in, they haven't presented themselves to the master builder, Jesus, and said, Lord, here I am. Use me. If you can use me, folks, he can use any one of you in this room. Anyone. And he will. He's just looking for those who will present themselves. You've got to do it physically. You've got to change your life around. You may have to do that. I was into motor racing before I got saved. I was quite good at it. One of the things I was good at, not many things I was good at, but that I could do quite well. And when I got born again, I suddenly looked at it. I want to become, for the younger folk, you may not know the name Jody Scheckter, but he was the only South African Formula One world champion. He won in a Ferrari at Monza, the last, when he got 1979. You remember Jody Scheckter? He was actually Jewish, the only Jewish world champion ever as well, from East London. I want to be like him. He was 10 years ahead of me. That's my hero. And I got born again. That suddenly looked so pathetic. I thought, how could I give my life? I gave my life to this. It was my God. I knew everything about motor racing. I lived from race to race. I just burned for it. And when I came to the kingdom, I thought, this is so pathetic. It's just so, what has it got? How does it count into eternity? It's so, God is my all. And finding the balance, some of you must have been, you know, when you're preaching, you're always trying to outthink the people that you're preaching to. Because there's people like, he's thinking other scriptures. Yeah, but, you know, what about this scripture? You know, just live a good life and keep quiet. And, you know, this guy's getting a bit too fanatical over here. He doesn't know what I have to face in business. And, hey, I've had my own business. I've worked in the corporate. I've been there. I've done. I've worked, and I've still lived for God like I'm living now. There was no change when I went into full-time. It was the same passion that carried on. When I was in the business world, I was there, not for business, I was there. I want to be the best that I can in my job. You must be the best business person. Not that it must consume you and take your life, but people must say, that guy, I want to do business with him. We're starting the business pages now again in Josh Jen. We started a couple, and over the years, and I've developed the first page. And the first page says, we know that there will be problems amongst us. If you get a plumber to come and fix your plumbing, things can go wrong. Fix your car, it may not fix it properly. But that's good. We can sort that out amongst us in the family. Let's talk about it. We don't say, well, I'm leaving this church. I sat with some really powerful business guys who were years ago, four of them. They were all directors in a company, and they had a long, big fallout. And money, it was involving millions. And so I got a lawyer to come sit with me and a chartered accountant to help me stand, and two other elders, Mornay and Phil. We sat there for 3 months, to sometimes 1 a.m, going through all the figures and going through all the accusations. And it got very hot in the meeting. Sometimes eventually I had to stop and say, whoa, hang on a moment. Because now we're not mediating, we're arbitrating, which means they're giving us the power to make a call on who's right and wrong. I said, if I rule against you, what will your response be? He said, I will leave this church. I cannot be the same church as that man. Because then he's a skellum. I won't be in this church. And you, what will your response be? No, if you say, I'm also going to leave. So then we've lost the plot then. Because the Bible says that rather be wronged. Rather be wronged. Because you've lost already now. You should rather come into a meeting like that. I hope I lose. You're thinking, what? What kind of a business is this? I hope I lose. Because I want my brother to, I want the best for my brother. See, the kingdom values are back to front to the world. The world, you come into there armed and dangerous. Where's my lawyers? I want to win. I've come here to win. I haven't come here to lose. No, but what if my winning destroys him? What if my winning wrecks my relationship with him? What's more precious, him or my bank balance and my money? That I can replace, but I can't replace this. I've got to be in eternity with him. I've got to live and be with him. You know, people leave the church angry. This is a terrible church. I hate this church. I'm going to another church. Do you understand we're going to see you again? We're following you. We're going to find you in eternity. You're going to look us in the eyes there. Why don't you just fix the problem here? So in the early church, you only had one church per city. There's one church in Swellendam. There was one church in Cape Town. If you've got a problem, you fix it. Otherwise, there's no other church to go to. We run all the time. No, I don't like you. I don't like this. I'm going over there. Be faithful. I've been in two churches in 45 years, one in Durban, one in Cape Town. Have I had fights and problems? Of course. I want to take my brick out the wall and go somewhere else. Paul and Barnabas, who were amazing godly men, who Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Barnabas was an incredible man of God. They had a sharp disagreement till they pulled away. And I've had sharp disagreements with, Leonard's been there, seen, me and Andrew sometimes have had sharp disagreements. I thought, I don't know if I want to carry on, yeah? I want my way. What about me? I thought, you know, what's best for the kingdom? Die. Die to yourself. Die to your own wants. Die to your wanting to win this argument and be the winner. Just lose. He says, unfair. Well, there's no, God's not fair, he's just. And I trust God. I trust Andrew. I don't understand sometimes. Andrew, I don't agree with you. But I trust you. I've learned to trust you, Andrew. I've learned to trust you as a godly man. And he's open to correction. He's open to change. So I can trust you. You fear God. I can trust you. See, as a brick, I want to remain in place. If God's told me to be here, I'm not going anywhere until he makes it very clear that I can go somewhere else. Very clear. Because I could be just causing problems in the body of Christ if I don't do that. Right. Can you go to 1 Corinthians 12:14, please? And I'm sure a lot of you know these scriptures. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. That's why I'm addressing those this morning who are not in leadership. I'm talking about those who just come here now and again, as it may be convenient or as it the weather's good or whatever. I'm talking to you because you are indispensable. You may think we don't notice when you're not here, but we do. We feel it. We feel we're not going forward like we could. You think, let us go well. They've got good guys doing preaching and worship. And no, we feel it. We'll never be effective like God wants us to be. And I don't think we fully understand when Jesus prayed for unity what he meant. He wants us all to be one. He wants you just to present yourselves, to say, here I am. What do you want me to do? It might be something as simple. Go and see Rion sitting on his own over there. He does a noise. You know. Go and see if he's okay. Because I've got 10 other people I'm talking to over here. But maybe just that will be enough. I've heard it so often where someone's just gone up to somebody and just, because we're all the arms, the eyes, the ears. Be a good ear. Be a good pancreas. The parts that can't be seen, huh? Gallbladder. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. We want to treat you this morning and those who don't think you count with special honor this morning. Because we should honor you. We need you more than you realize. More than you realize. And the parts are unpresentable with special modesty. While the presentable parts need no special treatment. We don't need to treat Charlie with any special treatment, Len, myself. You don't need to give us special treatment. It's the guys who are quieter who need that. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed you in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of just helping. How about that? Don't you want to just help sometimes? That's a role for everyone. Of different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have the gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Do all eagerly desire the greater gifts. Come on, Lord, I want more. Don't be satisfied. You must unterfried of you, is that right? Unsatisfied. You must be all unsatisfied this morning. Eh? Onver genoeg. Yeah. Is that better? Okay, whatever that means, be that.
No, don't be that.
Oh, don't be that. Oh, right, okay, don't be that. So. And then I want to just finish with 1 Peter 4. Oops. 1 Peter 4, come to me. 1 Peter 4, there we go. Verse 7. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. How we started. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober minds that you may pray. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Do you even know what your gifting is? That's where we as leadership can help you to identify what gifting God has given you. But if you don't present yourself, we can't help you. You're going to go into eternity with this unused gift. And stand before the Lord. And we know the parable where people were given different gifts and different talents. And it's one of the scary scriptures where the guys, two of the guys multiplied. He didn't want his gift straight back. He wanted his gift multiplied. He said, you guys who multiplied the gift, well done. But the one guy went and buried his gift. There may be some this morning who's buried their gift. You're too scared. You fear. You're fearful. You've been hurt by church, by leadership, by authority figures, by stepping out maybe and getting slapped down. But you've got to break that. You cannot have a fear of man. You cannot have a. You've got to overcome your fears this morning. We've got a lady in Durbanville. Her name is Anari. She's world famous now because I talk about her everywhere. She's an actuary, which is superior, I believe, to a CA. Yama, Rion. And she's in charge of our pantry. And we had a leaders' meeting for one Sunday afternoon. And we had about 60, 70, 80 leaders sitting there. And a kids' church, how's it going? And they were saying, yeah, I've got so many kids. This is what we're teaching. And worship team, how's it going? Now, this is what we're doing. And then I said, Anari, tell me, how's the pantry going? Because she was looking after the pantry fund. And she went red, eh? And she just froze. She just looked at me and went red. I mean, red. And I said, okay. So, you know, I sort of moved on. I had to dig deep in all my leadership skills and move the meeting on. And after I went to her, I said, Andre, I'm so sorry. She said, no, you do that again. I cannot respond like that. I cannot have a fear of man if God wants to use me. I've got to break that fear of man. And I said, well done. And she now will stand up in front of the whole church and speak. From that to that, fear of man. And some of you have just got been intimidated by the enemy. Things have happened in your life. But I want to encourage you this morning, you can get breakthrough. I want you to take this, we're going to land in a moment, and I want you to take a step forward in this morning in your walk with God. I want you to present yourself, as Romans 12 says, as I said earlier, as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice means there's pain. A sacrifice is never easy. It's not a living, present yourself a living comfort. It's present yourself a living sacrifice. Sacrifice is anah. It's sore. It's sometimes inconvenient. Some of you might need to rearrange your lives the way you live them. Your priority is not God. And you found your enjoyment in this life more sometimes than your enjoyment in God. And that just reflects on your relationship with God. I find myself, when I start drifting into the things of this world, I enjoy motorbikes and stuff like that, and I find if my talk and my interest is too much, I realize, wait a minute, this is actually starting to become an idol in my life. My granddaughters became an idol in my life at one stage. I was actually starting to prioritize my life around spending time with them. And it's you must say, but that's good. It is good. And I love my granddaughters, and I'll still give them time. But if it starts gripping my heart more than him, some of you have made idols of your children. And they always say, don't touch the children. You're going to lose the people. I'm not afraid of you guys. Sorry to say. People say, do you feel the resistance? I don't feel resistance from anyone. So you're going to resist, it's your problem. I'm here to try and lead you towards him. You've got one life to live. I almost lost mine twice in the last 4 years, physically, medically. I tell you, you've got one life to live. I was told one night, 4 years ago, during COVID, they said, welcome to the COVID ward. You're either going to be with Jesus tonight, because they saw my x-rays, my oxygen levels, and all that type of thing. I'm told, I might go and see Jesus tonight. This is the medical guys telling me this. Am I ready to see you, Lord? And I challenge you this morning, Are you ready to see the Lord? Stand before Him with your life. What are you going to take there? Your sport? You see, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So, sin is sin. I mean, if I say don't drink, that's obvious. No problem. But if I say some things that are good, maybe you need to stop them because they've become bigger than Jesus in your life. And some of you might start folding the arms. And for your sake, not mine, your sake, please submit to God this morning. Some of you may need to make hard decisions on this matter. I love sport. I love things. But if they get in the way of the kingdom, when I stand before Him, they're not going to count. They're not going to count. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forevermore. Father, I pray this morning as your people that we would be in position, that every one of us, Lord, would stand before you confident on that day, Lord, that when we see you face to face, that we have lived our lives holy before you, that this life truly belongs to you. We were bought at such a great price, the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the righteousness that comes from grace and mercy. But when we stand before you, Lord, we want to do so knowing that we've lived our lives for you, that we've loved you with everything that we've got, that you got all of us, Lord. You got our hearts. You lay down your life for us, and we want to lay down our lives for you so that you may get your glory in this life, Lord. So as your people, Father, we want to present ourselves this morning and say, Lord, here am I. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what it's going to be. But I want to present myself in position. In your name, Jesus. Let's all stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I trust that the Word of God touched your heart this morning. Because the Word of God is powerful and true. But if you're just ever hearing and never doing, if it's not transforming your life, it's not changing your life, then it's just words. But the Word of God is carried by the Holy Spirit and is empowered by the Holy Spirit to affect our lives and to change us to become Christ-like. And God is looking for a people that will say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. He's looking for courageous people. In Revelation, it tells us that only the courageous will inherit the kingdom of God. The cowards will not, the lafarta. If you're a coward this morning, there's a warning to you. If you won't give up things that you know you should give up and God's spoken to you about, I would be very fearful if I was you when you stand before God. We want to stand before Him confidently that, Lord, we have done your will. Let your will be done, Lord, as it is in heaven. Let it be done on earth. Your will, Lord. It's all about His will. Teaching the will of God. Go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all I've commanded you. I'm trusting this morning that the commands of God have gone out, and His commands are not burdensome. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. When you're actually walking in the will of God and doing the things of God, even in the midst of sacrifice, there is life on it. And you find freedom in it. I'm encouraging you this morning to step into more in God this morning, to come closer to Him. Don't let the enemy lie to you. He will lie to you. He wants churches just to take it easy. He doesn't mind you singing some songs and hearing some messages and crying together and caring together. He's okay with that. But do not step into what God's called you. Do not become effective in His hand. Do not impact Swellendam. Do not impact the world. This church has done so much. It's done so well. But there's more. There's more. And be hungry for the more this morning. God, here am I. Use me, Lord. If you feel that the Lord has spoken to you this morning and you need to respond to Him, because God's looking for those who will respond to Him, not just hear a message, yah, yah, tomorrow. No, today. Today. If you feel God has spoken to you, why don't you raise your hand so I can pray with us? If you feel God has spoken to you this morning to make changes, to draw closer to Him, raise your hands. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want you to be even stronger now and bolder and come stand here in the front with me. Please. Be brave. Let's do it. Thank you, Father. Just keep coming, just keep coming. Stand here. Father, you've seen your precious sons and daughters. You've seen their response to you this morning. And I pray right now for every single one of them who stepped forward and a desire for more, that, Lord, that you're even more excited for them than they are for themselves. Fill them right now, Lord. Fill them right now with the presence, your presence. Encourage them in their hearts, Lord. Let their eyes be lifted up this morning to see the Savior, this amazing God, this awesome God. Let them see Him with new eyes this morning, Lord, and a new desire to serve you with power and with passion. Let the things of this world grow faintly dim of the light of your glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Can you play that chorus? Off the bat. Turn your
eyes. Jesus, look fast in His wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Jesus,
turn your eyes upon me.
Thank you, Lord. We do that this morning, Lord. We turn our eyes upon you. And the things of this world will fade into nothingness, Lord, as we see your glory and your grace. You're such an awesome God, Lord. You love us incredibly. You love us so dearly. We are so precious to you. When you look upon us, Lord, you just, there's such love that we experience and understand. You love this church, Lord. You love your people. Pour your Spirit out on us, on all flesh, Lord, afresh. We want to grow in you, Lord. Grow in you. Be effective in your hands for your glory. Give us a passion for the lost. Let it burn us. Let us not be satisfied. We go into the workplace. Well, let us look with new eyes into those people that work around us, that they may need you. They do need you. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here this morning, you are not certain that if you were to stand before Him, that you would be known by Him. Because there are people, in Matthew 7, it says there'll be some who'll stand before Him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And He'll say, get away from me. I never knew you. Are you sure this morning that you are born again? There's only one type of Christian that's born again. There's no other types. And we know that good people don't go to heaven. Only saved people do. Because all our good works are like nothing to Jesus. If you're not certain this morning that if you were to die and go and stand before him, that he would say to you, I know you. I know you. You surrendered your life to me. You're mine. If you're not certain that you walk with this God and talk with him and that he is your Savior, he is your Lord, then I want you to respond this morning as well. I want you also to be brave and put your hand up and say, I want to know this Jesus. I want to know this Lord. I want to come into the kingdom this morning and be born again. There's a hand over there, that lady. Are you responding? Yes, you are. Is anyone else? The rest of us are all certain, absolutely, that we would know him on that day, be known by him. That's wonderful. Get some breath, lady. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord.
Awesome. Really awesome. Russell, Jenny, thank you so much for this weekend. I can honestly say that I've got the faith that we'll never be the same again after this weekend. It was a profound weekend for me, and I know for us as a congregation. So thank you so much for coming.